It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Thus magnify thy word above all thy name. Thy word is truth. Study to show yourself, approved unto God, workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open the word this morning once again to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And we are looking at verse 9, I think we finished verse 9, but I wanted to go back and just make a couple of comments there. In verse 9, of course, we have the fact that Paul was recognized, of course, Barnabas as well, but in particular, Paul was recognized at the Jerusalem Council. Now, this was not when he was born again. That was on the road to Damascus. It wasn't when he was ordained, if you will, because he was ordained basically in Antioch. He hadn't even gone down to meet with the other disciples. He knew Barnabas up there and those people, but they basically sent him out, and as it were, we would say they laid hands on him. So, according to our understanding, he was ordained in Antioch sometime after he was born again. And then later, some 14 years or so later, he went down to the Jerusalem Council because there was a lot of problem with regard to the legalistic Jews who had become Christians and were trying to get the Gentiles to be circumcised. That was the big issue. We don't think of it as an issue today very much. We don't even hardly talk about it unless you have a boy child and the doctor may say, do you want him circumcised? And some do, some don't. It just all depends. And so it doesn't seem to even have a connection in terms of ritual. I suppose if you were a Jewish family, you would probably want your child circumcised. That would be the obedience to the Abrahamic covenant as well as the Mosaic law. And so this is something that was problematic. But he went down there, and then after that conference, it doesn't say they laid hands on him. I expect that they did, but they sent he and Barnabas out to go to the Gentiles, and Peter and the others would go to the Jewish population. So there was a commissioning. So it wasn't so much an ordination as a commissioning. And so as we see in these verses, in verse 9, and recognizing the grace that had been given to me, which is what ordination, or at least conferring a ministry, sending people out. If we had missionaries, and just as we had Stuart Wallace going into ministry, we laid hands on him. And so it's the normal procedure to send people out as missionaries or as ordained pastors and so forth. And so we expect that even though it's not mentioned, there was the laying on of hands. James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and to Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Why? So that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. And therefore, obviously, others were going to the Jews, and they felt that Paul should go to the Gentiles, even though he really had a burden for the Jewish people, but God had called him to that different ministry. So in this case, not ordained, but certainly the calling to ministry. And I had here, before I go on to verse 10, and verse 10 is very easy. In fact, we even mentioned it, I think, last week, last week when we were going through this. But they're actually... And I just checked this out. I wanted to see, what about this laying on of hands business? Is that something that is really necessary? And so, first of all, we did have an ordination service, as you remember, for Stuart Wallace. And just kind of reviewing some of the things that we talked about with regard to ordination. If you were there at that service, you heard some of these things. Ordination to church office, not necessarily the pastor, but any church office should be done. But it's not stated directly in the New Testament. There are no specific passages with procedure that were practiced in the early church. There is evidence of a solemn rite marking the setting apart of certain individuals to a specific church function. Here we had the right hand of fellowship. Elsewhere we have the laying on of hands, but no specifics, no detailed instructions. In Acts 13:3, the scripture shows us that the church leaders placed their hands on Barnabas and Saul and sent them out about in Acts chapter 13. And so this is the church in Antioch. So there we have it. And they were sent out basically as missionaries. So if you will, they were ordained as missionaries from the church in Antioch. And that's what we have. That church acknowledged God's direction for them. Paul wrote to Titus in Titus 1:5, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." No specific ritual or laying on of hands is mentioned, just that he would appoint elders or pastors in the churches on the island of Crete. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 4:14, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership," that is other pastors. So there were a number of pastors that apparently gave the hand of fellowship and laying on of hands to Timothy. In the New Testament, there's no procedure, as we mentioned, outlined for an examination. We had one for Stuart with regard to a candidate for ordination or any type of council. Different churches have different methods. Those who are ordained are confirmed by other men in the ministry as deemed creditable and prepared for ministry. This means that the spiritual gift has been recognized. Men do not give spiritual gifts to other people. We can't give the gift of helps or healing or any other gift, teaching or evangelism. God gives that. And so it's simply a means of recognizing that spiritual gift. It's a serious charge by the people who send them out, and Scripture warns about laying hands on anyone for service too hastily, one who might be unqualified. Ordination is not magic, nor is it a ritual without reality. It's evidence of a public demonstration, an outward sign of the spiritual work of God in a man's life. It's a recognition by the church of those whom God has called and equipped for the service of ministry. In my definition, I said ordination is simply the process whereby ministry peers recognize the spiritual gift, in this case for Stuart, of pastor teacher, which God gave to that individual, and indicating that he is adequately prepared. That's why we have the examination and question him with regard to theology and the general Bible knowledge. Obviously, it doesn't confer any legal permission. We don't have a stamp from the state, nor do we want one. Of course, if you're going to be a medical doctor or a lawyer, there's certain legal rigor that the state requires. But in ministry, there isn't any such thing because it's a spiritual matter, nor should there be any. It simply is the local church's declaration, individual church or several churches, that a ministry candidate has earned the confidence and receives their endorsement as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of the questions that we asked were the motivation of the individual. Why do you feel you have the gift of pastor teacher? A general knowledge of Scripture, of course, an understanding of theology and Christian doctrine, and basically your call to ministry. Do you feel God has impressed you in some way into ministry? So that's what we have with regard to ordination and the calling into ministry. And I have down here things I was looking at. I thought, okay, so where do we see this? And there are basically four categories. And these categories, if you will, for the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands. And so there are four categories. The first one, of course, is we see healing. And particularly, this is Jesus. Although we see that in certain cases, the disciples had the gift of healing as well. Peter, Paul, the others had the gift of healing, but apparently that had been removed after the identification of them as apostles. And so it was kind of an indication that they were apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, later in the ministry, Peter tells Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach. You're going, well, why didn't you just lay hands on him and heal him? What's wrong with his stomach, you know? So they used wine as a medicinal for stomach ailments to soothe it. I remember I used the joke many times, but telling a tale on my father, but he doesn't mind. He's with the Lord now and understands. But he used to say he took his golden wedding whiskey, and he'd say, I'm taking this for my stomach's sake. I go, Dad, that was a little wine for your stomach, not whiskey. He said, whatever. So he felt that was good for his stomach. I'm not so sure it was, but at any rate, that's what people often say. Well, the Bible says a little's good for your ailments, you know, and so people take that, and this is a different time. They did not have the medicines that we have today for stomach ailments as what such. And of course, we have the apostles. So first of all, we have Luke 4, 40 and 41, and then we have the healing of the apostles, and that's over in Acts 3:7. I just thought we'd briefly look at a couple of these. So let's look at the healing here of Jesus in Luke 4:40. In Luke chapter 4, and 40. And here it says, and while the sun was setting, all who had any sick with various diseases brought them all to him, and laying his hands on every one of them, he was healing them. So Jesus did heal, and he laid hands on. Did he have to lay hands on? No. He could have just said, heal and be healed. What was the point of the laying on of hands? The identification that Jesus was the great healer. It was an identification in this case that he was the Messiah. And therefore, he laid hands on so that they identified the healing with his gift as the Son of Man, the Son of God. So that's the first one, and 40 and verse 41 as well. And the day came when he departed, and he went to the place, and the multitudes were searching for him. And he came out and tried to keep them from going away from 41. And demons also were coming out of many, crying out, saying, you are the Son of God, and rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak because they knew him to be the Christ. It wasn't yet time for that declaration, so he asked him to cease and desist. And the apostles over in Acts chapter 3, look over there in Acts chapter 3:7. In Acts 3:7. And here it says, Peter, of course, he said, I don't possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were straightened. And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. This, of course, is one of those things where all of the Pharisees were going crazy because they said, this guy's a faker. He could always walk. He was just doing it to raise money, getting sympathy, and now you're using this as a miracle. This guy was crippled all his life, and now he can walk. And they hated the fact that the apostles had the gift of healing. So the laying on of hands for healing, whether it was the Lord or Jesus. Now we also have the second one, which is conferring the Holy Spirit. And again, confusion often sometimes is raised because of this. And so let's look at Acts 8, 14 through 17. Acts 8, 14 through 17. Here it says, now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed with them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So people were believers, but the Holy Spirit had not come upon everyone yet. So this is what we call the transitional period. Now when you believe in Jesus Christ, and after the end of the period of transition, anyone who believed received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But we had many Jewish people who believed in the Messiah and hadn't received the Holy Spirit, and they had to understand that. And so it says here, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They were simply baptized or identified in the name of the Lord Jesus. They began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, the thing is, here people say, it was magic. They laid hands on them, and all of a sudden they were filled with the Spirit. Now, how did they know that? Well, because because they were speaking in other languages. A spiritual gift, not the same as the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, a separate function. But because they now had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, many of them also were given the gift of speaking in languages. So sometimes they are conflated. That's a big word that means they're made into one gift. Speaking in tongues was one gift. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, of course, came upon them. Now, did it come because the hands were laid upon them? It didn't come upon them any more because the hands were laid upon them than the fact that Jesus healed them simply by laying on of hands. It was an identification that he was the healer. And when Paul had hands laid upon him, it didn't give him the gift of evangelism or the gift of apostleship. It simply identified him. And so here it's identifying them as believers, and God gives the Holy Spirit. And so at that point, as they laid hands on, they were identifying them as believers, and then God gave the Holy Spirit. So we don't believe there was magic in the hands. However, Simon the magician, he saw this, and just as believers and unbelievers today sometimes think, oh, you know, if you lay hands on somebody, then they're going to get this special anointing or the enabling of the Spirit. And so we have that down here. We won't spend time on it, simply to say in verse 18, now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give this authority to me as well, so that everyone whom on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Therefore, repent of your wickedness and pray that the Lord, if possible, the intentions of your heart may be forgiven you. So obviously, it's not the magic of laying on of hands, and you can't buy it, you can't sell it. It is the fact that God already knows these people are believers, and they are identifying them as church-age believers, and they are now entered into the dispensation of the church. We call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit, entered into union with Christ as part of the dispensation of the church. So it's kind of a unique conferring or laying on of hands, the second one there. The third one is, of course, ordaining for leadership. Ordaining for leadership. And that, of course, has several things. Basically, we have Old Testament Levites. We have the pastor-teacher. We have evangelists. If we go back, for example, in the Old Testament to Numbers. Go back to Numbers and we see this kind of thing. So this is not just a church age operation. Numbers 8:10. So in Numbers 8:10, starting in verse 9, so you shall present the Levites before the tent of meeting. You shall also assemble the whole congregation of the sons of Israel, in Numbers 8, 9, and 10, and present the Levites before the Lord, and the sons of Israel shall lay their hands on the Levites. Now, there's no magic here. They didn't become priests or the priest tribe by the laying on of hands. It was identification, always for identification. They were identified as those who would minister on behalf of Israel as a people. And so they presented the Levites by the laying on of hands, and not just by Moses and Aaron or even the 70, but also, of course, the whole congregation. So I don't know how they all did that. That's kind of a crushing way, hundreds of thousands of people laying their hands on. But basically, it was a ritual, and Aaron then shall present the Levites before the Lord as a wave offering from the sons of Israel, that they may qualify to perform the service of the Lord. Verse 12, now the Levites shall lay their hands on the heads of the bulls. And so again, what did they do? Did the sin get transferred somehow to the bulls and to the sacrifices? No, it was an identification that somehow the animal was taking the sins, at least temporarily, until a perfect sacrifice could come, that being the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have that in verse also 27 in Numbers 27. Go further in Numbers 27, 18. Numbers 27, 18. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hands on him. Now, he didn't get the Spirit because he laid hands on. He had the Spirit, and lay your hands on him, and have him stand before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and what? Commission him in their sight. And you shall all, and you shall put some of your authority on him, in order that all the congregation, sons of Israel, may obey him. So here is commissioning Joshua, General Joshua, as Moses basically confers it upon him. Long before he was the commanding general, he was the executive officer, if you will, under Moses. At any rate, here's the Old Testament. And then over in Deuteronomy 34, Deuteronomy 34, 9. Here it says, now Joshua the son of Nun was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had, what? Laid his hands on him, and the sons of Israel listened to him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. So that no prophet has arisen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. At any rate, he lays these hands on him over there in Deuteronomy. Now, in the New Testament, in the book of Acts 13:3. So let's go to Acts 13, and we see the same kind of thing. Acts 13:3. Now here, I believe, is where actually Paul is ordained, if you will, as an apostle. Did he get his apostleship from men? No. It was a gift from God. God gave that to him on the road to Damascus, but now he's in Antioch. It says they were at Antioch in the church, and prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simon, who was called Niger, and others were there, and Saul, who later becomes known as Paul in verse 9 of the same chapter, verse 9 of chapter 13 of Acts. But Paul, who was also known as Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze upon them. So here we have verse 2, and while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them, to which I have called them. Then when they fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So being sent by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Cilicia, and from there they went on to Cyprus, and of course continued on. And they were already ministering long before chapter 15, when he has 14 years later another confirmation and commission to minister. This one apparently is his ordination at Antioch by the leadership there, not the apostles, but other leadership. And of course, both he and Barnabas are, if we would call it that, ordained at that time. In 1 Timothy 4, look at 1 Timothy 4. 14. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. Here Paul tells Pastor Timothy, remember we have, these are called the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, Titus, 2 Timothy. Last epistle Paul wrote from his last Roman imprisonment before he was beheaded. And so he wrote these epistles last, and he writes to Pastor Timothy, one of his chief students in the word, and he says here in 1 Timothy 4:14, he says, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through the prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbyters. The word presbyters there is just elders. Elders are fellow pastors. Other pastors got together. They felt that he was prepared, that he had the gift of a pastor teacher, and so he had this spiritual gift, and they simply recognized it. It was bestowed through prophetic utterance, not through the laying on of hands. That simply identified that they knew that he had that gift, and they were basically sanctioning that in terms of their own understanding. And finally, in 2 Timothy 1:6, 2 Timothy 1:6, here it says, and for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh, Timothy, this is his last letter to him, the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So obviously, we don't have a ritual how this is done, other than it simply is an identification. So here it is for leadership, and we have these verses, Numbers 8:10, 27:18, Old Testament, the Levites and Joshua, and then in the New Testament, Acts 13:3, the ordination, if you will, of Paul as an apostle, and then his recognition of Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:14 and 2 Timothy 1:6. The last one then, which brings us up to date, is over here in our passage in Galatians 2 and the one we just saw, 2:9 and also 11 and following. And so this is commissioning for a special ministry. So a commission for a special ministry could be a deacon, could be evangelist, could be pastor, teacher. And so over in Acts 6:6, let's go to Acts, see that one. Acts chapter 6, verse 6. And so here we have the approval of the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicator, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands upon them. Now, what were they going to do? They were going to minister. It doesn't say what all of their ministries were going to be, but they recognized that they were in ministry. So there are multiple areas of ministry. Could be evangelist, could be pastor, could simply be serving in local churches, serving tables. We would call that the diakonos, the deacons, those who are appointed in a local church for serving tables, if you will, such as the Lord's table here. And then in Acts 15, Now in Acts 15:30 it says here, now this is after the Jerusalem Council, which we've been talking about in chapter 2 of Galatians. Actually, chapter 15 was all about circumcision, verse 1. That's where they were saying, unless you're circumcised, you can't be saved, in verse 1. Then they had this great conference, and Peter spoke, and James spoke, and Paul spoke, and eventually they decided to send Paul and Barnabas back to Antioch. And basically, in verse 30, we have this commissioning. So, after the council, when they were sent away, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read the letter, they rejoiced because of the encouragement. And so here they are, they're sent out, and it says, Judas and Silas, being prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brethren, and so forth. And I thought there was another one there where it had the laying on of hands. Maybe I missed it there. Let's see. Do you see it? Whole church chose men. At any rate, this is, of course, just basically, I don't know that there's even laying on of hands here. Probably was. It doesn't state it categorically, but the idea is there. And then over in 1 Timothy 5:22, 1 Timothy 5, verse 22, it says here, do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily and thus share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourself free from sin. That brings us back to Galatians, and we'll need to break off, but let's take a look now at Galatians in our verse. In verse 9, it says that recognizing the grace, that is the gift, that had been given to me, verse 9, Galatians 2:9, these people, James, Cephas, and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. I guess that would be like laying on of hands, certainly, that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. And so this is basically what we have. And they did. They went on and presented the gospel through the rest of this chapter. So those are the four areas. First one is healing. Jesus did it. The apostles did it. specifically identifying with him and their ministry as apostles. Secondly, the conferring of the Holy Spirit, a special, unique gift. Not that they got the gift by the laying on of hands, but the recognition that they were family of God, and therefore when they laid hands, immediately they received the indwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit. Ordination, as we call, this is what Stuart had, where we actually, as fellow elders, recognized his spiritual gift. And then commissions, whether it be deacons or evangelists, pastors, what have you, we have the commissioning. All right, I think that'll give us enough to continue for the next hour. We'll come back and look at Galatians 10 and following in the second hour. Let's take our break. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this information as we understand, even though not spelled out in detail, there seems to be sufficient evidence for the laying on of hands, the identifying spiritual gifts that people are given not by the laying on of hands, but by your gifting. And therefore, we simply recognize that gift in people and we send them out and encourage them and give them our blessing as they are led by you. Help us to do this as the need arises, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
It's outstanding. I was going to tell you, Pastor Glenn, you did an outstanding job.
Yeah.
Man.
Try to present it. We do my Hebrew.
Oh, I love it.
Judy's
man.
Blessing.
Love it. Yeah. I love your discussion on the front of your pulpit.
Oh, yeah.
Discussion.
Yeah,
that you got.
Well, you got that. Thank you.
Beautiful, man.
Thank you so much for that. Yeah.
Yeah, that looks great.
Do you think you would be able to do a teaching sometime if I need you?
Oh, sure.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. I talked to Horton yesterday. He said he talked to you.
Yeah.
He told you about his burn.
I tried to get a hold of you, but...
He tell you about his burn on his leg?
No.
Yeah, he sold his Harley. So before he sold it, he wanted one last ride. And he burned the inside of his leg on the pipe.
He is a disaster waiting to happen, I swear.
Disaster, man.
I tell you, unbelievable.
Poor guy.